Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission, City of Bettendorf, for August 16th, 2017. Can I have the roll call, please?
Burt?
Here.
Hapler?
Here.
Peters? Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes at the last meeting on July 19th. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes of July 19th as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the case, or the minutes from the meeting of July 19th. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for August the 16th. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters related to zoning and use. I see a few people in the audience tonight, so if you have input relative to a particular case, that time I'll ask you to step to the podium to your left and to my right and state your name and input on that case. And we'd love to hear it, and we'll go from there. But I do have one other agenda item that's not on the agenda, and that's for our Commissioner Ormsby. She's absent, you'll see in the vacant seat over there, and we'd just like to recognize officially today that she had a baby girl named Juliana Lucille Ormsby, so congratulations to her. So with that, we will begin, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the case before us here involves two submittals. One is a land use change, and the other is a rezoning, and it's essentially for this area here. Petitioner wants to go from office research campus to commercial land use, and then from C6 zoning to C3 zoning. So essentially from the office and research park district, C6, to general business district, C3. Currently, these are the two lots that are considered, and then there's Outlot A, so it's lots 3 and 4 of the I-74 Technology Park, 5th edition, and then Outlot A. The concept provided for the fourth lot at this point is what you see here. This may be changing due to any constraints regarding any of our ordinances, but this is just the concept right now. We do not have the concept for Lot 3 at the present. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval, as we've seen this type of design, excuse me, in similar other lots here where C3 zoning has been implemented, and many of the uses on these other lots fit into the C3 zoning classification. Therefore, staff supports the rezoning and land use amendment request. I would ask if there are any questions.
Any questions from the commission with regard to this case? No questions from the commission. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? No one in the audience. We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 17-067, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-067, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-067 is approved. Okay.
And we have 068.
Right.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 17-068, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the related case 17-068, also subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17-068 is approved. Great. Thanks, Greg. Greg?
The next case, Mr. Chairman, involves taking some land and essentially creating more land mass for this area up here of Hoffman's first edition. This area sits up higher, that's in the yellow here, than the surrounding area. The idea is that we're going to see a recreation of this basin as a regional detention basin, with water coming in here and then exiting, but also water coming in from anything pretty much north of Belmont Road, and also partially from on these lots here as well. Even the church lot partially drains into the regional detention basin, but we wanted to see it redesigned so that it would function, and the developer on this project is working with us to see that that can take place. The easements as well, we have a continuation of the sanitary sewer through here, going through this area that's being replatted, and then a creation to keep this waterway free and clear of a drainage easement as well on the plat. The portion that is being taken is from the Outlot A in Crown Point 4th Edition and being added to what is lot number 3 currently in Hoffman's 1st Edition. The end product, as it were, is Hoffman's 2nd Edition, enclosing that area, and here we have the drainage easement and the sanitary sewer easement being added to replicate the fact that the sanitary sewer is already in at that locale. This is essentially looking at the storage area as one enters in off of Devil's Glen Road. This is the additional ground, and it's a higher ground up here that we're talking about. This is looking to the north from Town Point Drive, and there are the Oxbow Apartments. And here's Oxbow, and then this area right here is where the petitioner would anticipate attempting to place another building. When staff ran the density totals for this addition versus what's here, they're both 0.33% ground coverage, so that the existing and this addition are on the same platform, as it were, in terms of their density. But that will be something that we will broach when we get to the site development plan. And as we've explained before, the Board of Adjustment must evaluate this site and make their own determination as to whether the nonconforming can be expanded into this additional ground. All we're looking at tonight is the final plat to set up a boundary for any potential addition right here. What we're also trying to do is establish where this basin is and how that will be designed as a regional detention basin in a manner that is superior to what is in place today. Staff, in reviewing this report, would recommend approval of the replat of Hoffman's 1st Edition Lot 3 and part of Outlot A of Crown Point 4th Edition. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple. This came about like 2007, I think, the information in the packet, about 10 years ago. Recollection at that time was this developed from the landowner was parking RVs and such on the back of his property, and then this was approved, even though it's a non-conforming use, because this was, you know, less dense than the parking of the RVs. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what was one of the reasons for this. My concern is, and I want to get help from anybody here as far as non-conforming use. You know, if I read in the ordinances, basically non-conforming uses, you're not allowed to do much of anything with them. So how do we get to the point where not only do we have a permanent structure on an area that did not have any structure, to now we want to expand a non-conforming use? I'd like to have some help with that.
Well, the one thing that did occur was that you had almost all the storage was external storage, and if you go through our ordinance, you'll see that the more intense zoning districts tend to allow more outdoor storage. We wanted the petitioner to bring any storage that was going to be there to clean it up and bring it indoors so that there wasn't going to be any more outdoor storage. And that follows somewhat of the intent of somewhat de-intensifying the use. If you'll recall, too, most of the items that were stored outdoors were stored out all over the property. I mean, they were from every point A to B to Z or whatever on this site. And this consolidated any type of storage. into the buildings. So actually took up a smaller area by placing the buildings there and then having everything done in the interior. So that was, I think, the logic behind granting that. The amount of area, again, too, that he's asking to, in terms of placing the building on the additional ground, replicates the same ratio that is currently existing. So he's not going over that amount. But I think, you know, if Mr. Connors can elaborate, if his memory on this is maybe better than mine as well, I just put out there what I think we saw earlier in the report.
There were some easement areas on the west side of the property, too, where they were using for storage that is not used here. But, I mean, the reason we are sending this to the Board of Adjustment is staff is not comfortable in making this decision on our own. They're the ones that made the decision that it was not an expansion of a nonconforming use before, and they can be the ones that can make the decision as to whether this is going to be an expansion or just a smaller continuation of what we had before.
But in reality, what we're doing is we're taking land and we're adding it to this, so we are expanding a nonconforming use. I mean, that's the way I read it, that we're taking a piece of property from another, a piece of land from another property, and we're adding it to this so that we can increase, add buildings to a non-conforming use. That's what we're doing. Now, the other question I have is, if this was going to be rezoned, because the question in my mind is, why don't we just rezone it? What would the zoning be for this? What would zoning would they have to have?
Have to be one of the I districts.
So it would be an industrial use in the midst of, you know, one of our better commercial areas, potential commercial areas. That's all questions I have.
So just for clarity, the portion that's being proposed to be added to this building development or the storage was not part of the original nonconforming area? Was this outside that?
We'd actually have to go back and look at the aerial photographs that we looked at the time that this went to the zoning board originally. I can't answer that definitively.
And kind of bootstrapping with where Paul's going, I guess from a, I'm going to look at legal here too, from a process standpoint, what's before us is the plat, right?
That's correct.
So are we violating in any way or addressing in any way with the creation of the plat the non-conforming use issue? And if the space was not part of it originally, it seems like we are. If it wasn't, then we're just moving the lines but not really adding any property to it, if that makes sense.
You're telling the person that's subdividing the property that he can do anything with that.
That's still subject to the Board of Adjustment.
Yes. And site development plan.
Right. I think that what we're doing here is the first step in the process, that there's, you know, additional, I don't see this, you know, we could look at what happened before, but I don't, you know, what was approved by the Board of Adjustment, but I don't see this as a violation of an ordinance. This is the first step. I think we're, you know, I don't think this approving the replat is,
we're not ahead of Board of Adjustment
no,
in this case. If,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Others on the commission?
I understand all the lines of questioning you're following. I also would like to hear a little bit more about the drainage, just because it impacts that entire area. And Greg, when you were talking about this initially, help me understand what's changing in the drainage. You talked about creating a more of a regional detention, and you were showing us, so where is that drainage occurring now?
Might be a better question for our assistant city engineer.
The area is just south of the buildings there that are currently on the property. And we haven't, you know, we've kind of just discussed it in general terms as far as expanding that area. We think there's some opportunity to do that and pick up some more drainage or storage, I guess, in that pond area. So the developers just agreed to work with us on that and expand that area, which would definitely help us downstream of there. So, I mean, he's on board for working with us on that.
So this project isn't creating a significant change in the drainage. It's an opportunity from a city's perspective to enhance the drainage for the whole area.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's very little impervious area that'll be added as a result of this in comparison to what we're looking at or proposing.
All right. So a lot of these, the easements and the changes are all to benefit the drainage in the entire area at the same time as the storage is added.
Yep, we're looking at that opportunity, yes.
All right. Thank you.
That helps too. Yeah, thanks. Anyone else in the commission on this?
I would just like to go back, and maybe I'm wrong, but the way I read it is we're taking part of Outlot A, which is Crown Point 4th Edition, and we're adding it to the Hoffman's 1st Edition.
That's the way I understand
it. There's two different properties. So we're making one property larger so that they can add to that nonconforming use, just so we understand that's what we, that's the potential here. And granted, this is only a plot, but that's what the intention is.
And that's where I was going for the clarification from council that our action doesn't essentially create a further nonconforming use conflict.
But it facilitates
it.
Right. And Paul, I hear what you're saying in the principle of the whole concept of nonconforming use. But I also think back to what Greg was saying earlier, what this looked like before. And in this particular case, I would see the nonconforming use as an improvement aesthetically of what that area looked like. That doesn't change the principle of it. I'm just saying.
The issue, and this gets to the point, is what would have happened if that would have been open ground?
Right.
You know, what other development would have taken place?
Mm-hmm.
And what development has not taken place because there's an industrial use in the middle of this area? And
well,
should we continue with that use, or should we try to minimize it? Yeah, I don't know. This is...
Well, you and I were both sitting here when we had that discussion 10 years ago. And
I was too.
Yeah.
So just to clarify also on the legal issue, it's an interesting one. I think that the fact that you aren't creating an additional non-conforming use, I think that that's the distinction.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the table is not actually creating a non-conforming use.
Not right now.
Not right now.
But
so
it would enable that to happen.
You're
expanding it. You're not creating a new use.
But it can't happen without expanding it.
Right. If we would say no, and then this would not happen, it would stay the way it is, perhaps.
I mean, I think the way I view it is our approval of this plat expands the area that the use can eventually move into,
right,
assuming the Board of Adjustment approves
right.
it.
So approved.
Right. So we're not... All we're doing is allowing that to happen if the Board of Adjustment feels it's appropriate. And maybe that is, maybe this discussion is the discussion they will have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
You would always, yeah. I also agree on principle, Paul, with what you're saying, but I think 10 years ago is when we needed to be saying no. And
right.
At this point, it's as long as it's working out for the city as to making this detention or retention basin better, and it's somewhat landlocked to a degree where they're wanting to maybe add another building if this proceeds. I think 10 years ago is when we needed to say no.
I'm assuming we had the normal notification to the neighboring properties that would always go out, and there's nobody here to object.
Well, there's no change in zoning.
True, but there's a would the neighboring properties get notice of the plat, though? Yes?
Yes.
And replat by state law, you have to notify everybody within a certain area. That's state law.
See, the developer has joined the discussion.
Yeah, I think I can answer a few questions and maybe just tell you what we're doing, just to try and alleviate some concern. Not that I'm going to do that, but I'll try. The outlot is owned by the apartment owners to the south and west, as that L-shaped building is right there. We sold the ground for that. So at the time that we built the storage, we owned that ground. We sold the ground for the apartments along with the detention pond. We're now buying it back. We're moving the boundary. The yellow area, that's the additional area, is essentially the buffer yard. So the addition that's planned is an addition to the south building, and it's only 25 feet deep or less. So we'll be continuing the roof line of that building out 25 feet and adding south-facing units to that south building. The paving for that is going to be right at the property line currently. The additional ground is the buffer yard that's required. So we're not building on the outlot ground that we're transferring over to the current lot three, I think it is, of Hoffman. So the whole reason we pursued that was for the buffer yard to allow that expansion of the building by 25 feet of depth.
So are you saying the non-conforming use will remain on the original lot for which the non-conforming use was?
Yeah, I'm not working any angles. I'm just telling you what we're doing.
Okay, that was my question.
I'm not trying to say that justifies it at all, and I understand what Paul's saying as well. So I'm not working that as an angle. I'm just telling you what we're trying to do.
Okay.
And Bill's seen the site plan development, and that's all done. So he can confirm what I'm saying.
That's correct.
Property to the west, we own, just sold, and you've seen the site plan development for that, and we're breaking ground on that next week. They know what we're doing. I haven't spoken to the car wash, but the same apartments own the parking lot to the west as well. So we're not trying to sneak around the neighborhood with this. The property to the north is owned by Genesis. We've actually tried to buy that. They haven't wanted to sell that, but again, we're all the way on the opposite side. We won't impact them with this addition. So I think we're as low impact as we can be, and the agreement we've had in a meeting with Brian and Brent Morlock is we do a 50% cost share up to $100,000 of improvements to the regional detention to increase volume and the quality of water and that's being released into the stream. So that's laying all the cards on the table, what we're asking to do and trying to do.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that helped a lot, Kevin. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Paul, I'll make a general statement from my perspective as I look at this. I wouldn't want to create a precedent for continuing nonconforming use by extending a plat and pulling other ground into it. Setting that concept aside, I think in this particular case, if we're not setting any kind of bad precedent for future matters, this particular expansion with the additional information from Kevin, it's in an area that's going to face the detention pond. There is no other development that's going to be affected to it to the south, aesthetically, the way it's set up. If it were going north or west, I think it'd be a whole different discussion. But here it looks like everybody's winning, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Knowing that the building is going to stay in the old lot, plat, old property, this is just buffer yard, and the fact that we do have a lot of additional benefits for the community as far as a regional detention basin being developed because of that. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Anyone else in the commission, comments, concerns? Any further comments in the audience? Nope. We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case 17062, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-062, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17-062 is approved. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us involves an easement that is approximately in this area here of the Wyndham West developments, and it's a sanitary and storm sewer easement to connect up here into the Woodlands additions. And this is 53rd Avenue, Middle Road, right through here. This is what is already available, and there will be a connection made at this point. But we had the petitioner, one of them, I should say, Windmiller Design, basically run a sanitary and storm sewer easement from this point, I should say, here, was where the connection will be, and run it up north so that it might serve multifamily and then commercial further on over here. And this orange line indicates where that is and where it feeds. Essentially, this is where the connection will go from the line that would be placed within the Wyndham West additions. This is what the easement looks like within the Wyndham West property that is unplatted at this point, connects to Mirfield Drive, and essentially replicates where the right-of-way might be, and then some easement areas here and here, and then maybe some more here as well, and then a possible connection under any right-of-way there. The actual design is with the Wyndham West first edition right now, shows essentially in blue where this easement is relative to the Wyndham West first edition, and then anything above this line right here is all the Woodlands area. Staff in reviewing the easement agreement that was reached and the easement design recommends approval of the easement design as shown here. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission?
I can just clarify a little further.
Yeah, thanks,
Mr.
Bill.
Chairman. Reason for this is there's a gap between the Wyndham West addition and the Woodlands addition. Sewer was not originally ran up there because that portion of the property was not final platted. So this was an agreement between the city and Advance Homes and the Windmiller Group to basically create a temporary easement, which is bigger than the final easements will be, but then when the final plat comes through, these go away and they're replaced to allow that sewer to be extended. The reason we need to have an easement on file and that's recorded is because we will accept, the city will accept those improvements, and we can't accept the improvements unless we have platted ground. So okay. This is a little bit complicated. We haven't really done this before, but we had a great discussion with both the developers and the city was involved, and everybody decided to work together and let's do it this way and get it done. So that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Questions or comments from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this? Nope. Back to the commission.
Chairman, I move that we approve case 17-072, temporary sewer easement, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 17-072, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-072 is approved. Okay, great. And that would take us to commission update, Bill.
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to the last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the City Council did pass on the approval to Scott County of the Venwood Estate 4th Edition Preliminary Plat. They did approve the Crow Creek Estates final replat, and Mr. Rafferty, we did get a written agreement from the Springs people on dispersal of the stormwater. That was a very good point you raised. And City Council did approve the Lewis First Edition replat.
Okay, great. Well, as you drive around town, there's certainly a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. So if there's nothing else, we will adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.